Our text tonight's going to be Judges 13 through 16. This is a story of Samson. The title of my message is Samson, Picture of Christ. If someone's listening to this a long time from now, go read these four chapters first. And it'll help this sink in a whole lot better. Judges 13 through 16. A long time ago, we went through Esther. And we did the whole book in one message. And it feels like I'm going to do this whole story of Samson in one message. And there's so much to cover, but there's so many sweet things in it. If we can, the Lord will keep our attention, I really think it'll profit us. But we're going to stay just in the book of Judges tonight, and I'll read you the other things. But most people know of Samson. This is the strong man. Had long hair. And his wife Delilah tricked him. And she cut his hair, and so the story goes. That's most of what we know. Maybe something about a jawbone. But as we take an overview of Samson's life, we're going to see that this man's just a picture of Christ. That's what all the scriptures are about. Christ Jesus the Lord. It's declaring His coming. And I need to hear that over and over again. I need to see that plainly over and over again. And boy, what a testament. If you took your favorite author, whoever is the best, not what we think is best, who really is the best, and you said, here's our gospel. Christ and Him crucified. Who He is and what He did for His people, how He honored the Father, everything about when He's coming, how He came into this world, what He did when He was here, how He rose, how He's buried, everything. Write me a story in four chapters and tell me everything about Him. It couldn't be done. Couldn't be done. All right, the first thing we're going to look at, I got 4 points this evening. We're going to look at the birth of Samson, the life of Samson, the death of Samson, and then what Christ is doing now in this world, in His church, in His people. So first, we're going to look at Samson's birth. The time of Samson's birth is very telling. We see there in verse 1, Judges 13, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. Israel was in bondage under the Philistines whenever Samson was born. Same way, equally. Christ came forth whenever Israel was under bondage to the Romans. All those Gentiles at that time, they were bound up in fornication. They were ignoring God. All the physical Israelites, they were committing uncleanness. They had all the outward motions, all the pretending. They showed up to church a whole bunch. But they did it without knowledge, without knowing Christ. And this time, that was the time that Christ came. And it was announced. That's the same as it is in His people, in His children. While we were just in uncleanness, running wild in this earth, thinking what we're doing is just right, but it's honorable. But just dead in sin, He comes to us at that appointed time, that time of love. And He announces Himself. The angel of the Lord announced Samuel. Here in verse 2, Judges 13, 2. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. You see the similarities of Christ in this? Just as Samson's mother was told by the angel of the Lord that she's going to have a son, Mary, the mother of our Lord, was a virgin. She could not bear children in the state she was in. It was impossible for her to have a child. And the angel of the Lord told that woman that our Redeemer was going to be born of her. He said, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. And the Samuel here was consecrated to the Lord. See in verse 4. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, speaking to Manoah's wife, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. Christ and Samson were both separated. They were both consecrated, made holy unto the Lord from the womb their whole lives. Samson was a Nazarite. That means he was separated. He was anointed to the Lord. He was consecrated for the full service of his life to God. Christ is called that holy thing. The Holy One, conceived of the Holy Ghost. Raised in Nazareth. You know why he's raised in Nazareth? That it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. Or what else could we call it? A Nazarite. A Nazarite was required by law never to cut their hair. You know why that is? Couldn't cut their hair. Couldn't get a haircut. Long hair was a thing despised of in the scriptures. It was shameful for a man to have long hair. And it was because it was a symbol of consecration to God. I serve the Lord. I'm a Nazarite. What shame. All the kids on the playground made fun of him. All the adults didn't want to talk to him in line at the grocery store. He might preach to me, get away from him. Isaiah 53 spoke of Christ and said, He has no form nor comeliness, no beauty that we should desire Him. Now listen to me. It was Samson's consecration to God that was his strength. It wasn't his hair. It wasn't just the fact that if you want to get strong and be able to pick up heavy things, don't grow your hair down to your waist. That ain't going to work. Just as Christ didn't receive His power through His muscles, through the food He ate that morning, but from God the Father that sent Him and set Him apart. That's where His strength was given. And it's the same way for you who believe. We've been chosen, we've been separated, we've been made holy by God. And so we appear to this world as uncomely. Something to be made fun of. What is it that separates us apart? It's nothing outwardly. There's nothing outwardly. I could walk down the street and I blend in just with everybody else. Whenever you speak to somebody, you speak to a child of God. You say, well, why aren't you worried about all this stuff going on? Well, my Father loves me. He's in control of the whole universe. I have no need to worry about that. What about fires and earthquakes and tornadoes? The Lord controls those things. I ain't worried about that. What about the meat you're eating? You can't eat that. That's nothing. My Lord made that meat. I can eat what I want to. Separated, different. And our power doesn't come from that. It comes from Christ who called us in power, called us in the Spirit, and called us in truth. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi and said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's where our strength resides. Now we see Samson's mission here at the end of verse 5. Judges 13:5. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now we see this type of Christ in Samson's mission. Samson would deliver his people, Israel, Judah, out of the hand of the enemy. Our master's mission for his people was declared as well before he was born. It says Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save everybody that wants to. No, we ought to have this memorized, shouldn't we? He shall save his people from their sins. There's an enemy. There's a particular people he shall save. He ain't going to try to save. He shall save them. Just as that particular people Samson was born to and that he was to deliver was declared before his birth, Christ was given a people. He was given a purpose to deliver them before his birth, before time began. Samson came to this world as promised by the angel of the Lord. Christ came into this world as promised by the angel of the Lord. Look here in verse 24. Judges 13:24. And the woman bare a son. And she called his name Samson. He came. And the child grew. And the Lord blessed him. Christ came into this world born of a virgin. And we read about him that Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. How is that possible? People want to just solve all the mysteries of the world. God Almighty in human form became a man and grew in wisdom. I don't understand that. I can't explain that. I believe it. I can't explain it. It's miraculous, isn't it? Samson's name, it means sunlight. This one sent to deliver his people, his name means sunlight. Malachi told us of Christ. Says the sun, S-U-N, son of righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. So we see Samson as a picture of Christ in his birth. Now let's look at his life. the acts of Samson's life. First, we see a picture of Christ and his marriage of this Philistine woman. Judges 14, verse 1. So Samson went down to Timnah. Timnah means a place assigned to. Christ came to a place assigned to him of his father before the foundation of the world. Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughter of the Philistines. Woman there means adulteress. That's what Paul was speaking of as unclean there in Ephesians 5:3 we've been looking at. An unclean woman, adulteress. And she was a daughter of the enemy that he came to kill. An uncircumcised Gentile woman, as his dad called her. That's a horrible wife, isn't it? Samson, this picture of Christ that we're given here, he was married to an adulterer. And then in chapter 16, verse 4, he meets Delilah. That's a well-known harlot. That's what Paul was telling us in Ephesians 5, is a fornicator. She had no bounds, no covenants on her. And people said, boy, this is bad. These are bad things, aren't they? This is horrible. Not if you're a wretched sinner, it's not. Not if you're unclean in your heart, it's not. This is good news. For Samson, this was a great sin, to marry a Gentile, an adulteress, or to go all these harlots we have recorded here. That's against the law of God. No excuse for Samson on his part. But the scriptures say his taking this Philistine woman, it was of the Lord. Look here in verse 4. Judges 14, 4. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord. This was on purpose. The Lord decreed this. What a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God the Father that gave Christ his bride. And that bride, that church of God, his body is made up of wretched sinners, adulterers, harlots, publicans, enemies in our mind by wicked works, as the scriptures say. Enmity with God, just the same as Samson's wife was. And it was of the Lord, purposed by the Father. Christ didn't come to call the self-righteous religious folks who call themselves God's people. He came to save sinners. Samson's parents, they warned Samson here not to marry this woman. Look here in verse 3, Judges 14:3. They said, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Can't you get a better bride from better stock? Surely there's somebody that's nicer and maybe comes from a little bit better family. And Samson said unto his father, get her for me. For she pleaseth me well. He said, you go get her. That's the one I want. That's mine. Christ people are sinners. There in Mark 2, it says, when the scribes and Pharisees, these big religious people, saw him eating with publicans and sinners, those despised tax collectors, harlots, sinners, they say unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Do we know that we're sick? Not physically, but spiritually. Do we know that we're not whole? We came into this world with a deadly disease born into us, a hereditary disease. We need a physician. But here's the good news. Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Publicans and harlots. We see in the life of Samson, his bride, and then we see the defeat of the lion. Here in verse 5, Judges 14:5. Then Samson went down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. Samson was going to get this woman to be his bride. He was on his way to go marry her. And then this lion came roaring against him. That's a picture of the devil. Peter told us, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking who he may devour. When Christ came down to get his bride, Satan roared against him. From the time he entered his public ministry, all the way to the cross, in the wilderness, throughout his life, that Garden of Gethsemane, the Spirit of the Lord was upon Christ mightily, though, when he was against this lion, just as it was on Samson here. Look in verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent, he tore him as would have rent a kid. He tore this lion in half like it was a baby goat. And he had nothing in his hand. Christ rent Satan as if Satan had no power at all, like he was a baby goat. And he had nothing in his hand. There was no swords, no cannons, only the Word of God. Isn't that what he said every time he was tempted? When he was tempted in the garden? Satan quoted Scripture to him. He didn't come to him with a flagons of wine. He quoted Scripture. And the Lord said, "Thus saith the Lord." That's what he was armed with. During Satan's temptation, Christ as a man, as a righteous servant of the Father, as our righteousness, walking this earth, he cast all of his care on the Lord, who was able to save him from death, who was able to raise him from the grave. The only way you and I can defeat Satan is by casting all of our care upon Christ. That's it. Peter wrote, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." He careth for you. Sitting some stoic, stern, mean judge, he careth for you. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." How do we resist him? Staying steadfast in the faith. Was that my faith? It better not be. Better be the faith of Christ. Better be his faith. My faith is he is faithful. We see Samson as a picture of Christ in his birth and in his life. And now we'll see it in Samson's death. We'll see our Lord, how Samson was rejected. He was bound by his own countrymen. So that he was victorious over his enemies all alone. All by himself, empty handed. Look here in verse 10. Judges 15, verse 10. Judges 15, verse 10. Here's where the enemy came. Judges 15, 10. "And the men of Judah said, 'Why are ye come up against us?' And they answered, 'To bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us.' Then 3,000 men of Judah," his countrymen, 3,000 men of Judah, "went to the top of the rock of Etam and said to Samson, 'Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us?'" What did the Pharisees ask Christ? He said, "Don't you know that Caesar is the ruler? That's who's the boss." That's what his countrymen's asking him here. "And he said unto them, 'As they did unto me, so have I done to them.' And the men of Judah said to Samson, 'We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee to the hand of the Philistines.'" Christ's own nation, his own countrymen, his own people betrayed him. They bound him, they beat him, and they turned him over to the enemy. Took him to Rome, the Romans. Christ and Samson were both sold for money under the ruse, under the guise of love. What? Delilah sold Samson. She seduced him and tricked him, and she turned him over for 1,100 pieces of silver. While he told her, as he laid his head in her lap, she's sitting there petting on him, being sweet. Judas come up to Christ, kissed him on the cheek for 30 pieces of silver. Both were sold for a price. Both were apprehended by the enemies. They were led away bound. They bound both of them. Both of them were made sport of. They made fun of them. Both were blinded. Samson had his eyes plucked out. Christ was blindfolded. Both were fastened to a post. Both were scorned and beaten. And both of them were completely alone. Nobody was with them. Isaiah prophesied, "I have trod down the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me." Samson and Christ's death were both voluntary. Samson's enemies, they were celebrating on top of that house. 3,000 of them. Praising their vain god. And Samson destroyed every one of them by pulling down the pillars of their house upon himself. Told that little boy, he said, "You show me where them center pillars are, and I'm going to yank them down. I'll die with the Philistines." Christ spoke and said, "No man take my life from me, but I lay it down of myself." He willingly laid down his life. While his enemies, they praised their vain gods, thinking, "Surely Surely we've defeated this Christ. We've defeated this Jesus. And while in doing so, Christ pulled down their whole houses in his death, all around them. Both Samson and Christ were victorious in their death. They're in Judges 16, verse 30. Judges 16, 30. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death, in this one act, were more than they which he slew in his life. Same it was with Christ. By his death, he gave the most deadly blow to Satan's kingdom. Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them." Our Redeemer was victorious. He defeated Satan. By himself, he purged our sins. He obtained eternal redemption for us. Christ fulfilled the law for us, making us his righteousness in God, in himself. He declared God's just and the justifier. And that last enemy to be destroyed that we have to face us is death. Death's the last enemy we have. Here's what the scriptures say. "But the sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory by our Lord Jesus Christ." He was victorious for his people, and we are victorious over the law, and we are victorious over the grave. We have nothing to fear. Lastly, we see Samson as a picture of Christ doing what Christ is doing now. Since he's accomplished his work on the cross, what he's doing in men and women, in his church, and his children on this earth, he's calling his bride. Now back in Judges 14. Judges 14, verse 7. "And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well." After Samson defeated the lion, he went after his bride. Christ bound that strong man, didn't he? So he could spoil his goods. Christ bound Satan so that through the preaching of the gospel, he might deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. They were well pleasing to him. Now he sends forth his gospel, wooing his bride. Each individual redeemed child that he was given. Christ's bride pleases him well because she's redeemed by his blood and she must be called out. She's his. See the gospel here. Notice this strange thing that happens after Solomon destroyed that lion. This is odd, isn't it? Look here in verse 8, Judges 14, 8. "And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, the one he had rent in two. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother. And he gave them and they did eat." Out of this destruction of the devil, this defeat of Satan, with justice for his elect fully satisfied, here comes the sweet tidings of the gospel. Here comes that sweet honey. By Christ working in our hearts, it brings forth his elect from death. It calls them out like swarms of bees. Brings us right to him. But Samson spoke this truth of the gospel. He spoke it in a riddle. So some never understood the meaning of it. Look here in verse 12, Judges 14, 12. "And Samson said unto them, Now I put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it to me within 7 days of the feast, and find it out, I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. But if you cannot declare it unto me, then ye shall give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments." That's justice. If you don't figure out this riddle, you have to pay me in full the proper amount. But if you solve this riddle, this riddle is revealed to you, I'll pay you. "And they said unto him, Put forth thy riddle that we may hear it." Verse 14. It says, "And he said unto them, Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. Christ speaks the gospel in riddles. He came on this earth and he spoke in parables, didn't he? Those who are blind, those self-righteous Pharisees, that's all they got. They wanted a sign. He said, you get Jonah. And he gave him a parable. It says in Matthew 13, the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou in parables? Why do you do this? And he answered unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Thanks be to God, Christ reveals this gospel, this parable of the gospel, this riddle to his bride. Look there in verse 17, Judges 14, 17. And she went before him 7 days, while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him. Now for Samson, his wife was deceiving him and asking this. But this reminds us of those parables that Christ gave. Several times in the New Testament, he says, those that have ears to hear, let them hear. And they turn around and walk away. Well, that's sharp, but... And then these apostles. Boy, that'd be something we'd bump into one of them nowadays, wouldn't it? We'd hush and listen to them. Great men. Knew the Lord. Knew the gospel so thoroughly. They would go to the master and say, what'd that mean? They didn't have ears to hear, did they? It's just like everybody else. They didn't know what he's talking about. And he said, come here, I'll explain to you. Sit down. And he spoke comfortably to them. And he taught them. He was their instructor. Teaching his bride. How does he do that after his ascension? All Samson's pointing to Christ coming. This is who he's going to be, what he's going to accomplish in his birth, his life, his death. What happens in our day? Turn over to Judges 15, verse 15. Judges 15, 15. The Philistines bound Samson, but the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And here in verse 15, Judges 15, 15. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps. What was heaps upon heaps? Like the sands of the sea. Heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. Samson slew his enemies, those that were at odds against him, those that were enemies of him, by a strange, odd, and foolish means, wouldn't it? The jawbone of an ass. Christ, by the foolishness of preaching, through the power of His Spirit, conquers and overcomes men unto Himself. He slays that heart of the proud. Slays their religious thought. Slays their pride. Everything they trust in that's not Christ. And then He slays the enmity between God and man in Himself. What a picture. The jawbone of a donkey, the jawbone of an ass, is telling you right now what Christ has accomplished for the Father, and glorifying Him, honoring Him, and what He's done at the same time in His people, in and for His people, and then it's finished. Do you hear His Word? In these Scriptures, in these texts, these Old Testaments, things don't make much sense to us nowadays. Do you see Him? Do you see the Redeemer? His old prophets, they spoke of Him. Come to Him if you hear Him. Eat of that sweet, sweet honey of our slain enemies, the enemies of sin, death, and hell that He conquered. And boy, what a sweet smell and savor it'll be. There'll be rest for your souls, and death is conquered. Amen. Let's pray together.